It's no secret the federal government faces a number of challenges in building and retaining a strong workforce. And if it's going to compete with private sector jobs, it might need to revisit its current pay system structure. That's according to Tony Reardon, the president of the National Treasury Employees Union. He testified on this matter to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee earlier this week. He joins me now. Tony, good to have you back.
Tom, it's great to be back. Thank you.
All right. So what, first of all, let me ask you a more immediate question. Now that the budget deal is just about law, I guess maybe when the president wakes up, it'll become law in the next couple of days. That's got to be a relief to union members and anyone working in an agency.
Well, I think it is a huge relief. And, you know, now that it's passed the Senate, now we turn our attention to making sure that agencies are appropriately funded within that budget.
I guess that's some work yet to be done that you don't hear as much about in all of the hoopla over the speaker and the bipartisan budget deal.
Yeah, you're not hearing a lot of discussion about that yet, but I suspect over the coming month and a half or so, you're going to certainly hear that as we approach December 11th. That's for sure.
All right, so getting to the main issue at hand for you this morning, you've got some concerns on the pay system, how it's set up. What is it that you told the Senate that you think needs to change?
Well, basically, Tom, what I told the Senate is that, you know, federal agencies find it very difficult to recruit and retain talented employees for one simple reason. They do not get enough funding from Congress. You know, there are tools that are currently in place that allow agencies to reward high performance and to be creative in recruiting and retaining good employees. The problem, however, is that agencies don't use these flexibilities enough. So, you know, one major reason of that, of course, is a lack of resources from Congress, as I said. So, you know, there is enough flexibility, in our view, in the GS system under current law, but, you know, just not enough funding. The GS system already allows agencies to offer performance awards, recruitment and retention bonuses. They can offer special salary rates and other tools to hire and keep a very talented workforce. You know, but as I said, you know, the root cause of our problem here and what I've really been trying to make sure gets out to those in Congress and out in the media as well, is that it's just basically insufficient funding from Congress that is creating the problem here.
Is it your sense that, let's talk about the IRS for a minute, where many of your members work. That's an agency that has been pretty much punished by Congress in terms of its funding over the last couple of years, and I don't see any reversal of that in what's coming up for 16 and 17. And do you feel that the managers there would use the flexibilities they have, such as spot bonuses for great work and so on, if they had more funding?
Well, you know, here's what I'll tell you about that, Tom. Obviously, funding is at the root, excuse me, of the problem. However, I'm also concerned that, you know, federal managers, HR executives within agencies, although I think probably on some level they're familiar with these pay flexibilities, I think oftentimes the problem that they run into is they're not always certain exactly, you know, about situations where they can use flexibility. So what I called on from OPM when I was testifying last week before the Senate was to have OPM make sure that they educate these HR executives and also make sure that they provide real-life scenarios under which HR executives would be able to use these flexibilities so that these agency managers have a good idea of when it is appropriate to use the flexibilities. Now, getting back to, you mentioned the IRS, and you're absolutely right about that. I mean, just so everybody understands, since 2010, the IRS has lost $1.2 billion in funding. That's with a B, billion. And, you know, what is so ironic, at least in my view about that, Tom, is that this is the very agency that brings in 93% of the government's revenue. If you look at this simply from a business model perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense that the IRS would continue to be punished, because in reality, who is ultimately punished is the American people.
All right, let me ask you this. Getting away from just the IRS for a moment, there have been a couple of studies recently, and these come out from time to time, comparing federal pay levels with those in the private sector. And at the IRS, there are jobs, some jobs are similar to those done in the private sector. What's your sense of how members feel about, is the grass greener outside of the government versus inside?
Well,
and what do you think about it?
Yeah, let me first touch on, I suspect what you are pointing to, at least in part, is the recent Cato Institute report.
Now, that's one of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly one of them, where I believe they indicated that federal employees are paid something on the order of 78% higher than private sector employees. So let me just first say about that, that study was really an apples and oranges comparison. When you look at all of the jobs in the private sector versus those jobs in the federal sector, you know, the top 12 jobs in the federal sector are jobs such as doctors, engineers, accountants, lawyers, very high jobs that require a great deal of education and experience. And then when you look over at those, at the same types of jobs, let me back up. For the federal jobs, there are 56% of federal employees that fall into those top jobs. When you look at the same jobs in the private sector, it is something on the order of 35%. So, and then down on the bottom rung, where you're looking at the lower paid jobs, a lot of the lower paid jobs in the federal sector have been contracted out. So it's, you know, you get a lot of data from the Cato Institute, but ultimately it's data that does not suggest a very well done study. So it's an apples and oranges comparison. So I think that's, not really a good one to look at. Now, in terms of, you know, how our members are feeling about, you know, is the grass greener, as you asked, here's what I would tell you about that. I think, and I talk to a lot of our members across the country. I've been out in three cities in 3 days over the last few days. And what I'm hearing from our members is if they have an opportunity to get out of the federal government, they're going to take it because they do not feel as though they are being paid fairly. And they certainly don't feel like they are being treated like the valued employees that they should be treated like. So yeah, I think they're concerned about that. And I think we're looking at the possibility of losing a great deal of experience and skill and expertise because we're not appropriately paying federal employees. But I think there's another side to the problem as well. Young people coming out of college, young people, you know, just coming into the job market, they're not going to be interested, Tom, in working in the federal government when all they hear about is, you know, the trouble in terms of getting paid fairly. I mean, we have to remember, in 2011, 2012, and 2013, federal employees were under a pay freeze. In 2014 and 15, each of those years, they got a 1% increase. That, over 5 years, is a 2% increase, where the private sector, during that same period, received an 8.3% pay increase. And so when people hear that sort of thing, they want to get out of the federal service, and those that aren't yet here don't want to come. And that is a net loss for the American people.
Now we have a House Speaker whose record with respect to employee pay and benefits in the federal government, well, I guess you could say it's not all that great. So is the unions, and are you getting together with your sister unions and maybe taking that one on with Paul Ryan?
Well, look, you know, you're right. I mean, certainly Speaker Ryan has he's not supported legislation that is all that supportive, let us say, of federal employees. Here's what we're going to do. You know, we're urging incoming Speaker Ryan to work in a bipartisan manner to resolve the nation's problems. Speaker Ryan should, in our view, act quickly to pass fiscal year 2016 appropriations bills that provide higher funding levels for federal agencies that were called for in the recent budget agreement so that federal workforce does not face another government shutdown in December. I'd also urge him to recognize the very valuable contributions that federal employees make every single day. You know, federal workers have already contributed more than $159 billion toward budget savings in the past decade. So, in our view, requiring federal employees to make additional sacrifices is both unfair and frankly, it's unacceptable. So Congressman Ryan's previous budget proposals would have, in our view, unfairly targeted federal employees by slashing their pay, retirement, and also agency resources. So NTEU is committed to working with any member of Congress on issues important to federal employees and that also strengthen the federal workforce. So we hope that Speaker Ryan will work in a bipartisan way to make sure these things happen.
Tony Reardon is president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Brother, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you very much, Tom.